tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to another episode of Tea Time, a series where we discuss topics related to trick takers, shedders, climbers, and other card games. We're your hosts, Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
And it's been quite some time since we've done a Tea Time episode. It is the beginning of the new year, January 2024, and we are snuggled up trying to keep warm from the winter weather. So I hope you have a hot cocoa or a tea or a coffee keeping you warm. What do you have now, Patrick?
Well, I've got peppermint tea. And the thing is, Ryan, I was going to say it's quite ironic that it's been such a while since we've done a Tea Time episode, considering for us Brits, it's pretty much always tea time. There's always a kettle going on somewhere.
Every day is tea time for you, right?
Every day is tea time. Pretty much, essentially, that's how it works. Is if you're on recording an episode or you're putting a bag in a cup.
Well, there you go. You heard it from Patrick first. Whether you're listening to one of our episodes or not, you can always have tea time if you go to Britain.
Okay, it sounds very elegant.
Well, diving right into our first topic that we have is the Royal Rumble winner. So on our last main episode, we had the Royal Rumble where 10 different games with a surprise 11th entry came in and sort of duked it out with each other until there was one final winner, which Patrick and I couldn't come to on our own. So we asked you, the listeners, to vote between Skull King and Robotrick for the winner between those two. And we have the final results. Patrick, would you like to announce who is the winner?
So the final result, and it might come as no surprise to the trick-taking community here, is Skull King, which won 21 votes to 15 poor little robot, otherwise known as Robotrick, who lost out, but not by much, Ryan. On reflection, right? Not a great deal.
No, not too far off. And so thank you for everyone who did vote. And as I was keeping an eye as the votes were coming in, it was really close up until the end. For the most part, it was tied or only one away. It wasn't until the last five or six votes, really, that Skull King started to pull away.
No, you're right. I like how we accepted no responsibility and pushed the vote onto everybody else just in case we chose the wrong winner. But right up until that, we were talking about the results, Ryan, and right up until the end, we were sort of saying, well, which way it's going to go, I don't know. And as you pointed out, it was only the 11th hour that the pirates came in and took over the ship.
It did. Now, my question to you is, are you surprised by that result?
Absolutely not, because I am surprised that Skull King survived the entire version of the Royal Rumble, and I say that because we'll probably do another one, let's be honest. But I'm not surprised it won because it's such an OG classic. This game is the definition of a very fun and excellent trick taker. We have trick avoidance, trick taking, and bidding, and just a wild time, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, it's a good game at getting a wider group of people into trick taking. Relatively from beginners to advanced, there's a good chance you can get people to enjoy it. Of course, not every game is for everybody, and there are some people who prefer the Oh Hell or Wizard, a little bit more simpler version of Skull King. And now there's the Skull King the Dice game, or the newer version Mino Dice, which gets even more crazier. So you have different people in different camps for those, but as far as Skull King itself goes, it's a pretty solid trick taking game.
Yeah, and it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I feel like Skull King's one where if you like games with complete known information and you want to strategize effectively and you don't like the chaos, then Skull King probably won't appeal to you. But then on the other side, Skull King the Dice game takes Skull King and makes it even more chaotic and random, which for me is great. It's a good time, but you can see people, again, not being for everyone. So it's a funny one, isn't it? But clearly common consensus has put the pirates on top.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Skull King for being the first Trick Talkers Royal Rumble winner. as Patrick alluded to, we'll probably be doing another one of these in the future, seeing as we enjoyed the episode itself, and most of the listeners, you guys seem to enjoy it as well. We're not sure when. It might be a yearly thing around the January Royal Rumble time. We might do one sooner. Kind of just depends on schedule and how we feel at the time.
Yeah, Rick, I feel like, Ryan, we could do an impromptu Royal Rumble just when people aren't expecting it. The ring opens up and more entrants pile in. Don't worry, though. We've probably got you covered because Skull King won't be featuring in the next Royal Rumble. Maybe on a one in the future. But wouldn't it be ironic if we put Skull King in again and it was the cream of the crop again?
It's quite possible. Anything's possible in the WWE. So anything's possible in the Trick Talkers Royal Rumble as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, you've got WWE, but acronym for trick-taking wrestling, TWE? Does that work? Trick-taking wrestling?
I guess.
I don't know what the E stands for, but...
Entertainment? Yeah, just keep it as entertainment?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
We can workshop that. We can probably think of something better.
We can workshop it. Yeah, we just need a referee and a few... Well, we are the commentators, I suppose. We've got the whole dynamics great. We just need to... We'll surprise people with the next one.
Yeah. We could also do all of the other WWE events throughout the year. Hell in a Cell, SummerSlam. I don't know how we could thematically make it work, but I'm sure we could figure it out if we wanted to do something. If we really are lacking in new content to come out with, yeah, we could just default to that.
Ryan. Oh, Hell in a Cell.
Oh, brilliant. That's the first time I actually really enjoyed one of your puns. That was perfect.
Such a brilliant ring to it. I will stop now because I know I'm going to get carried away, but trio fret? Triple fret?
That's okay, trio. With trio, but Nana, it's not really a trick taker, but, you know.
It was a stretch.
I'll give it to you. Yeah. So that is our news on the update for Royal Rumble. I think we're just going to segue right into our next segment here. And that is the 2024 challenge that Patrick and I have both given ourselves. So, briefly, just want to talk about the Board Game Dojo podcast. Eric, the person in charge of the Board Game Dojo podcast, reached out to Patrick and I to record a little segment for our 2023 hot takes and our 2024 goals. If you go to the Board Game Dojo podcast, which we'll link in our show notes, you'll be able to listen to those episodes. There are other podcasts that are featured on those episodes. So we're just a small, well, we're a slightly larger portion of the episodes because Patrick and I like to talk a lot.
We've taken up your whole show and eluded trick people into thinking they were listening to Trick Talkers instead. We're sorry about that. We hope you enjoyed the banter.
Yes, very much apologize for that. But you can go check it out. There's a lot of other great content to listen to there, and you might get introduced to more people that you want to listen to. Just know there are those two segments for each one, and Patrick and I enjoyed doing them, and we thought it'd be good to just continue a little bit of the conversation on the 2024 goals section in our own episode here, because Patrick has started a new challenge for this year, which is a little similar to the one he did last year. And I am going to be joining him on this challenge as well, but I will let Patrick explain exactly what the challenge is.
Yeah, and I'll first off start by saying that this challenge last year, for those who may or may not remember it, didn't have many guardrails in place, did it, Ryan? So it allowed one to break a challenge very, very easily when they got tempted.
Very, very easy to go past.
Yeah, and I want to start by saying also thank you to my friend Tom, who I know listens to the podcast, who gave me some very inspirational ideas to do the challenge. He's also doing the challenge. My games group on a Thursday is doing the challenge. We've got people in our Trick Talkers podcast doing it, some people in PGC. I know you're doing it as well, Ryan. So I feel like this time we've got a good momentum behind it and a bit of more accountability perhaps than last time.
Yeah, having a larger community of people doing the same challenge, I think, is really helpful. Knowing that there are other people who can get your back and check in on you as much as they're checking in on themselves can be really helpful.
Exactly. To put a game reference in there, whatever you do, don't get got breaking your challenge. So the challenge itself this year, it's called the 12 Game acquisition challenge. And surprise, surprise, I can only gain 12 games in the year. However, these games are base games. So expansions don't count. Genuine gifts don't count. I mean, look, my mum's already got me a murder mystery box for Christmas, but I suppose it's not part of the challenge. But you get things, don't you, Ryan? You get things. People know you're a gamer. They say, okay, well, what can I get him? It's his birthday or it's Christmas. And I'm, oh, you know, they go into the local shop and they pull a game off the shelf and you just get it. And it might be one you've already got. But that's how it works. So probably a generous requirement, but one that's necessary. Trades and print and plays don't count either. Now, historically, I've done a lot of trading, and I think trading's a positive thing. The only thing is, of course, and same with P&Ps, is there's a bit of work that has to go into it. You have to send the game off. If you print and play, and you have to perhaps do paste-ups. I know you like doing those, Ryan. But, of course, cost-wise, it's obviously a lot more cost-effective if you're just sending the game off or you're just printing the materials out. So last year, I didn't allow myself trades, and I feel that had I done that, I might have stood a much better chance for success. So that's where we're going with it.
Now, quick question on the gifts part, just to really hammer it in here. What if somebody gives you a gift card to like your local board game store or something like that? Because you are still at that point, you're choosing the game you're buying. But the money was gifted to you in a secondhand way to get that game. So how would you count that?
Trying to find a loophole here.
Yeah, of course. No, I just got to set the parameters. I got to make sure everyone's on the same page.
So I feel like we have to address it. But I think in that case, sure, you've got a lot of base games. You can probably get some cool accessories maybe for your gaming life. Maybe you need some dice, Ryan, or some sleeves or expansions. That's an easy thing, right? Because...
So just don't buy base games with it.
Just don't buy base games with it. And maybe you can use it to buy somebody else a gift, right? Buy another game and then give that to somebody else.
True.
So many things you can go at here. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable way. Gift cards is always an awkward one, I'll give you that. But I think that's probably a reasonable way around it. Also, I have set an arbitrary limit. And I've said, okay, well, I want to stay under 150 games. Now, everybody will have a limit, potentially, if they're doing this challenge, a limit's inbuilt into the challenge, but your limit is personal to you, and you'll probably have an amount of games that you are comfortable with owning. Now, Ryan, did you define a number for you personally, for your, just out of interest? I mean, mine's 150.
I have not, only because I'm afraid to.
Okay.
That would require me cataloging the number of games I currently have, which I could just look at my app and it'll tell me. It's much higher than I want it to be.
Okay.
But I actually rearranged my living area. The entire gaming and living room space I basically swapped, and I've rearranged the shelving spaces so that I've been able to have my games laid out a little bit nicer than before, where I was like hiding and stacking things where you couldn't actually see them.
Just bury them. They're not there.
Yeah. So now I'm a little bit more comfortable with the way my games are displayed, where I can see everything that I have. So I guess for me, without actually putting a number, with my current setup, I don't want to have anything become hidden again. If I get to the point where I'm starting to stack things on top of stuff or hide stuff behind something else or it can't fit in a square anymore, that's where I've reached the limit.
No, I think that's a fair and a good conversation to have with yourself.
All right. We are actually recording the second half of this episode for the second time due to some technical difficulties. So if audio quality sounds a little differently, if our voices sound a little different, since it seems like Patrick's cold is developing a little bit more,
sound
we do apologize.
Like a horse now. So
yeah, apologize for that slight difference here, but we want to make sure we get this full episode in because we thought it was a great episode. So we'd like to refinish this second half. But anyway, we'll get right back into it. And we were starting off with Patrick just doing a quick recap of the 2024 challenge.
So the challenge for 2024 for me will be setting myself up for success, unlike last year. Still got the 12 new base games in the year that I can acquire. That is the golden rule. However, this time, expansions don't count. Genuine gifts don't count. And if you end up with a pile of gift cards, try to make sure that you spend those on expansions, preferably and not base games. Finally, trades and print and plays don't count. And no, Ryan, it doesn't mean I can trade all of my collection out for a brand new collection, because I have pledged to do not exceed and stay under 150 games, or as close as I can to 150 games. But I think the spirit of it is to try to reduce the backlog.
Absolutely, and we'll see how well this challenge goes for all of us, as well as everybody who has joined along with us. Well, I thought it would be fun for this episode for us to make little predictions on how well we think we're going to do and how well we think each other's going to do. Now, because this is the second time we're recording, we, spoiler, already know each other's guesses, but I want to let you guys know what we had. So first off, let's start with how well we think we're going to do. Patrick, how well do you think you'll do in this challenge?
Well, now I've got the guardrails in place, Ryan. Now we've said expansions don't count, and now I'm allowing trades. I didn't allow trades before, which was a little bit setting myself up for a massive failure. Going from someone who used to get these massive boxes in from Japan constantly to try out all the latest trick takers, that was just going to be a recipe for disaster. So I think this time, hopefully, I'm in a much better place. And I'd like to thank Tom from my Thursday group of gamers for suggesting some of the tweaks to the challenge. Some of my regular gamers, Ryan, in person are doing the challenge. And obviously, I know you are. And the fact that we've got our wonderful folks in Trick Talkers Discord, and also the PGC Discord, there's people doing the challenge too. I think that's going to really set me up for success, because there's high stakes now, isn't it? It's, you know, there's more riding on this than there was last time. It feels like I can't fail a second time.
Well, I feel like because you've given yourself the extra stipulations that caused you to fail last time means it should be easier to succeed this time. You've basically changed the goal to be a little bit lower, so it's better to complete. So that's why I think you will complete it. I'm sort of going ahead on mine, and I am okay. Saying for my guess for you, I do believe that you will complete this challenge.
So plot twist, when we first recorded this, Brian said he was going to believe that I was going to do the challenge, but it would have been a massive curveball if you were like, oh, actually.
If I change it up and be like, no, you're going to fail after a couple days.
That isn't what we recorded before when the file was lost. Never mind. But no, just for the banter, I enjoyed it though. And I appreciate your support, Ryan. So that's the main thing. The support's there, the support network. So fingers crossed.
Of course. And I think that's a big part of this challenge, is really allowing all of us doing it together. It's really cool seeing in our Trick Talkers Discord server, even just the couple days we've been doing it, we have a list of everybody going now that has their, you know, 0 out of 12, 1 out of 12 games. And people are posting when they get a new game, the number it is and which game it is. So it gives us a little bit of conversation of, well, why'd you pick that game? You know, oh, that's a good first game to have picked. It's just, it's been fun to see this, even though it's only been a couple days.
Yeah, it's been tracking, and I've already tracked my first game on there, Ryan.
And I have as well, actually. And I guess maybe we should ask each other, what are our first games?
Okay. Before I predict whether I think you can succeed your challenge for the year. Okay, I suppose I'm going to see what you set yourself off with, so then I can sort of say, well, I started with this, so this is what's going to happen. Let's do that then. So my first game is called First Contact. Now, there's symbolism there in the name, isn't it? The first contact in my collection for the year. That wasn't why, by the way. It's just
it works pretty well, though.
Have you played First Contact? Because this was an accident, basically. I didn't intend to get it into my collection. I swapped out an expansion thinking that, oh, it's okay, it's a trade, I can get a base game, but that's not how it works. Clearly, you know, it's not. It's just
you wrote the rules and you already broke them on your first game. It's great.
Yeah, and so as a result, I have to count it as one of my 12. I can't just say, oh, no, it's a trade. So I'm fully accountable. I'm doing it. And it's like this weird reverse code names? Were you trying to come up with an alien language has arrived on Earth and they're or aliens and they're trying to communicate with the humans, and both sides, humans and aliens, are failing miserably in trying to decipher what it's an asymmetrical version of code names, basically. Have you taken it for a spin?
No, it looks pretty cool. I actually have not played it before. I know one of my friends has owned it for a while. He has it in a massive collection, so it's one of those things where it's just one of those that has sat on the shelf, never got played, unfortunately. But I would like to hear back from you after you get it played to maybe see if we can then push that copy along to get played a little faster.
Oh, you see, Ryan's a dark horse. The first time we recorded this, he said, oh, I think I might have played that one before.
Correct. So, and this is why I'm glad we're actually recording this, because I was thinking of a different game when you had said that. And this is going to go too far down the road, and I can't think of the name of the game. It's a darker box. There's like a girl who's trying to communicate with aliens. I probably should look up the game, because I knew we were about to do this re-recording, so I could have checked it, but I can't remember what it's called now.
Sounds like the start of an E.T. sequel, Ryan, the girl that's trying to communicate with aliens.
Basically. Editing Ryan here, it's called Visitor in Blackwood Grove. I just looked up my BG stats, so not even close to First Contact. I don't know why I thought that was it. First Contact seemed more alien to me than Egyptian. But anyway, back to the episode.
So what did you pick up for your first of the year then?
So first game I picked up was Magna Grecia. This is a Cube Rails-esque style game, which is just another genre of games that I've been heavily going down further and further. We did that episode a few episodes ago about it and the comparisons to Trick-Taking and Climbing and stuff. And I was able to play this game online probably a month and a two ago now. And I found a used copy at my game store and I immediately jumped on it. Now, I do wish the physical version of the game looked like the one we played online, because it was like a reskin.
Okay.
The physical version is so much brown and yellow. It's very hard to look at. It's pretty ugly, but the game is amazing. So I had to pick it up.
Magna Grecia, that is.
Yeah.
Is this thing. Yep. And that's not, just to clarify, because Ryan at the moment currently has his Discord display picture of an alien shaking hands with a sort of a Victorian gentleman. That's a different Cubes Rail game, right?
Correct. That is from Stellar Gage. That is my current obsession. That is what I'm playing all the time now. I actually just played it last night and figuring out when I can play it again next.
Okay, so no, so that's not surprising then, actually, that you've picked up a Cube Rails game, and I can see the why, and you sort of, I know you're enjoying that genre at the moment. So yeah, that's cool. And in terms of your challenge then, before I take a guess, which you probably already know what it's going to be, this is like the ultimate metagame podcast recording, by the way.
It's great.
How do you feel about the challenge for the year?
So I think I am going to fail the challenge.
Right. What? Why?
I'll
pretend I don't know why.
Of course. And I'm actually trying to remember exactly why I said this is also the problem. But mainly because knowing that I have a lot of unplayed games still, even from my last year's challenge of all the trick-taking, climbing, shedding games that I still need to play. And I have purchased some sense, so that unplayed amount is just, it slowly keeps going up again. Mm. Yeah. And I honestly, I can't remember what I said last time.
But you know what? A bit like Groundhog Day / Truman Show style, Little Bird told me, Ryan, that you have got a shelf and you've turned it on its side.
That, brilliant. You're so right. There we go. I just need a little jog of the memory.
Little cue prompt.
Yeah. But basically, we rearranged everything to where now my Calyx, the shells you can get from IKEA that I had, were normally standing up vertically. Well, I've been able to lay them down horizontally, which has given more surface area to put all of my games on top of it. So before, all the trick-taking and card games that I had that were lined up top of my three Calyxes took all three of the Calyx tops to do it.
And to be clear, Ron, were they in those little Calyx divider shelves that you can stick in the Calyx and have
The Kabako Bako shelves you can get from Japan.
Oh, that's one of the systems. So yeah,
it's a combination of those, but also just like literally like mini shelves you can get from IKEA as well.
Okay, yeah, I think another ones.
Because I've laid them on their sides, the two bookshelves that I have, is the same distance that all three were before, which means that third one that's off to the side now has other of like my big box, like Nemesis and Septima and Zaya all on top, which means I've opened up some of my Kallax squares themselves to be able to put more games in it.
And space is dangerous.
Space is dangerous. That is a huge, scary thing.
I mean, out of space and space.
I see what you're doing there, a little space pun.
Clever stuff, right?
But because I have all of that extra space, it means I have room for games. And there's plenty of room to get potentially more than 12 games, especially if they're tiny card games. An entire Kallax Square, you can fit like up to 24 card games if you stack them right.
You mean you weren't going to fill it full of like Taylor Swift albums or LPs or some books, self-help books for how not to buy more games?
Wasn't considering it, but maybe I need to do that to make it take up space.
Right. And you do realize people listening to this are going to go, Ryan, that's a great idea. Actually, if I turn my shelf to the side, I can create more space too. And hopefully they're not doing the challenge there, of course.
No, but it is a great way to do it. If you really want to have more room and place your games on top, it's a fantastic way to do it. I also really like it because it goes at height level. Like you can sit at the table and you just turn and all of the games are like at perfect height level. It's great.
Yeah, the wonderful geometry of squares and shelving. Right. Brilliant. Now that you've just said that, Ryan, I'm afraid it doesn't instill me with a lot of confidence regarding your challenge for the year. I mean, I know you haven't heard me say this before, and I should definitely have said he's definitely going to do it, but it's slightly worrying. However, you're in the right place. We all support you, I'm sure. I know I support you, and hopefully, you know, in December, you turn around and say, actually, there were a few Cube Rail games, some I couldn't resist, there were a few trick takers in there, let's be reasonable. But you know what, I've done it and I've achieved it, and we can't, you know, re-record that future episode. We don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And I think as long as I focus more on Cube Rails games, I can be able to buy less. Really, it's you need bigger boxes, which is like a stupid thing to say. Normally you're like, you don't want big boxes, they take up unnecessary shelf space. Like Magna Grisha is a horrible box. It is so freaking big, and it's got so much empty space in it. Like, you could easily knock it down to a fourth of its size, maybe even smaller. But it's going to take up a quarter of one of my Kallax squares, so it's going to help eliminate some space.
That is very true. So when you think, put it into perspective, just for context then, bigger cube rails, less room for trick takers, it kind of balances itself out.
It can, but definitely don't take that as a message of I'm not playing or enjoying or loving trick-taking anymore. I'm obviously doing that as equal. My trick-taking collection is easily bigger than all my other game collection.
Yeah, you couldn't fit it all inside that box, even though it's huge, right?
Yeah, but the fact that I'm doing this challenge and trying to limit myself to 12 games, I pretty much have to only buy those if I want to potentially succeed. Maybe I'll do like a 50-50, like six card games, six cube rails, and or other board games. We'll see.
Yeah, just do that. And while you're at it, throw in Chicago Express, just because it's like the granddaddy of cube rails, and it's also a huge box. So that and Magna Grisha together basically eliminate about 20 trick takers.
Perfect. Best way to do it.
Space-wise, of course. So that is the challenge, a bit of self-reflection. We'll pretend we didn't know what we were going to say. We didn't. Some new things have emerged from this, including Cube Rails chat that it wasn't expected, but I've enjoyed it, Ryan.
Came out of nowhere. Well, it's also because I didn't have my first game when we recorded, so that was a new development.
And that was only a couple of days ago as well.
Yeah, oh, it's very recent. Oh,
okay, well, it's first game. It is January, so it's doable. It's allowable.
Yeah, we got time.
We got time.
Well, one thing I do want to quickly mention too, we have a geek group that we've set up for Trick Talkers group. If you're unfamiliar with Geek Group, it's basically an account you can sign up for that takes your BGG collection and puts it in a nice spreadsheet almost, but it looks a little bit nicer than just a spreadsheet on this website. And when you join into the group, you can see everybody's games in that collection and things that they've done with their collection, if they've added something, changed a rating or whatever. So it helps us all kind of follow along with each other. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, Ryan, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because Geek Group's great. And also, if you want to use it to get a few additional insights about your collection, how you've turned it over in terms of moving on games, how much you're playing, There's other good apps out there, of course. BG Stats is also great. But Geek Group does give you some additional information and tips that you might not get on BG Stats or BGG. Well, in fact, it does. It's its own unique beast. And like we said, we've got a group that people can join and be part of. So please do tag along and join us for this exciting challenge into 2023.
Should be pretty great. We'll put the link for the Geek Group in the description if you want to get to it.
And if you want spreadsheets, there is a game called Black Friday by Friedman Fries. When open the box, my group basically said, you're pitching us Microsoft Excel the game. So it was a hard sell for my group. I'm sure there are groups out there that love it. It's just, of course, this is just on the presentation. But we're not here to talk about Friedman Fries and Black Friday, are we, Ryan?
No, that came out of nowhere.
Albeit it is a Friday.
But that's true, it is. Shall we move on to our next segment?
Let's move on to our next segment.
Wonderful. Would you like to introduce the next segment?
Yeah, so the next segment here, very excited actually to tell you about this because it's Travel Games. So that is travelgames.co.uk. There is a hyphen in between travel and games, by the way, if you're wondering why it's not working. They have released a Tokyo Games Market package where there's different boxes to choose from. So they're going along to Tokyo Games Market. I don't know if Ben, the shop owner, is there himself, but he's got a Eric from Board Game Dojo, is it, Ryan?
Yeah, Eric from Board Game Dojo and Ben from travel-games.co.uk are sort of combining their forces together to bring these games. Since Eric lives in Japan, I believe he's helping get some of these games. And then Ben is ultimately shipping and doing all of the stuff through his website, travel-games.co.uk, which is always a mouthful. So I think we're just going to say Mr. Ben's site.
Mr. Ben's speciality, boxes of specialities, treats.
Exactly.
So these boxes, because of their expertise between the two of them, they know what they're doing, okay? And they obviously know what's popular and what the latest stuff is that's coming out and that looks good and is well regarded, hopefully, once it's translated into English, we always say hopefully. So there are three boxes to choose from at the moment. There's a big box, a mega fan box, and just a fan box. And one of the cool things, I know Ryan liked the sound of this too, was that if you already own a game and you don't want to receive the same game again, they've got the ability to specify that.
Yeah, so for all of the games that will potentially be in these mystery boxes, they have the really long list on the website. And you can contact them when you're ordering the boxes and say, I already have X, Y, and Z. And they'll make sure that they don't put it in your box for you, which I think is amazing. Big problem you usually have with mystery box games is you end up getting something you already own. And there'd be nothing worse than spending all this money trying to get five new Tokyo Game Market games and you have all five of them already.
Right, or nothing worse than getting five copies of Bottle Imp, case, albeit that's not coming from Japan, so please don't panic. That it isn't included in this package. There are exciting titles such as Wizard Cup, which is one that I know me and Ryan have really enjoyed. Caberni Stick. Is it Caberni? Caberni Stick?
I believe.
Yeah, there goes my pronunciation. The Harvest expansion, I'm really excited about that. I wish there was a way of extracting that and taking it for myself, maybe one day. And some of Taylor Rayner's new games, and also a game called, I've just spotted this completely random, Ryan, a game called Holy Poop. You played that one?
No, but I have heard of people talk about it. It seems silly, just as the name would suggest.
Yeah, I mean, I had a friend as well who had a friend. Well, that sounds very morbid. I've got a friend who said, there's a game called Tokyo Poo Divers, Patrick. I'm surprised you haven't picked that one up. And I'm trying not to turn this into a toilet episode because it could get super weird, but there are some strange named and strange themed games coming out of Japan, but I suppose that's part of the appeal, right? It's just different.
Oh yeah, there are some very weird themed games. I know there was one, maybe two Tokyo Game Markets now, mm-hmm. where it was all about trying to eat as many bananas as possible before you had gastrointestinal problems and had to go to the bathroom. And like the name of the game title is something close to that.
Yeah, I suggest you don't play that on a first date. But you've got things like Dog Poker now and Grave Keepers, that sounds pretty morbid, but could be great. Frog Catch, I wonder what you do there. So I'm not going to list them all, just gives you a little taster, but if you want to see the full list of games, go on the website, take a look yourself, and cutesy things tend to come in these packages as well. Ryan, I've ordered from Travel Games before. It decorates them very nicely. Sometimes you get a sticker. But there's also going to be a bit of merchandise, isn't there, from Tokyo Games Market 2 that you might find in these packages?
Yeah, there's supposed to be some trinkets or some things of art, stuff like that. So you're going to expect to get some games, but you're also going to get some fun little add-on surprises as well, which I think is also a nice touch.
Yeah, and these are all priced up in pounds at the moment. It is a UK website. It says sold out, but don't worry, they're not. Apparently they're not. They're releasing later this month.
Yeah, it goes on sale January 26, 2024. So mark your calendars to get yourself set up for that. And it's a good thing you actually point that out, Patrick, being in UK, as the website also suggests, it's in the UK. So keep in mind any international shipping for you is going to get added on to the total cost of the games that you're getting. And as Patrick also mentioned, there are the three different box sizes you can get, but there are also three different types of games you can have in those boxes. So you can ask for the trick-taking focus box, the family game focus box, or the variety box, which is kind of a little bit of everything. So just make sure when you go on the website, when you look through all the stuff, just take your time to make sure you're choosing the right options. And again, you can always contact Ben and he'll be able to sort things out for you. And you can also actually go to the Board Game Dojo Discord server. They actually have a channel in there that's specifically related to these Tokyo Game Market boxes. So if you have any questions, you can ask them and get an immediate answer, which we'll put the link for that in the show notes.
And hey, even if you don't get a game that you like, well, I'm sure you'll get games that you like, but if, say, you get a dud in there or a couple that you're not so keen on, I'm sure there's enough demand for it nowadays to, well, worst case scenario, you gift it to a friend, or perhaps Christmas is around the corner in 11 months' time, so that's always another way of moving it on.
Quite possible. I think you'll have options.
Plenty of options. So definitely check it out, and it is exciting. Sadly, though, of course, Ryan, it's not for us, is it, this year because of the challenge?
Probably not. A single box is going to set you back probably the entire challenge, especially if you get a trick-taking focus box, even the small one. I mean, I don't actually know how specifically how many games, especially because they're all different sizes, but I believe the small box is probably going to be anywhere from like 3 to 6 games. So it's going to be scary to do.
Yeah, this is. I'd love it if there was like the plot twist between the first recording and the second recording. You're like, oh, actually, I've ordered one of these boxes. I don't know how many games are in there, but it's like Russian roulette on the challenge. You just don't know.
Yeah, see how close I can get to the line of 12 games.
The 12 mark. Brilliant. Yeah.
Maybe I should do that then.
That would be wild, but I suggest you don't go for the mega one because you'll probably treble it at least.
For sure. But honestly, it being in the UK and having to add that extra shipping on top of it is, I think, just enough to also make me not consider it.
Yeah.
Who's to say? One thing, the 26th is still far enough away.
Yeah, there's still time run between the recordings. Fingers crossed for you, though.
We shall see.
So I think that concludes the mystery box segment for the listeners, and I think that's all from us today.
I believe so as well. Thanks so much for getting through this episode, and hopefully it doesn't sound too weird this second time through. But if you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or anything, we can always be reached at our Twitter at TrickTalkers or by email at TrickTalkers@gmail.com. And you can find all of our links and information for our show on our link tree, which is linktr.ee/TrickTalkers. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you around.